Nice to have Trash Kid today in the studio of Radio Dreieckland. Welcome to you.
Hello.
Hey, thanks
for having us.
So you're on a tour, on a little Europe tour now at the moment, touring the UK, Switzerland, France, and also Germany. Mm-hmm. How does it feel? How's it going?
Yeah, it's been fun so far. Some mishaps.
We've forgotten a few things, but all the shows have been really nice and different, so... Yeah, it's been fun.
And is it also your first time that you are in Freiburg?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So you don't know Slow Club yet?
No.
But we've heard some good things about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. We were in Strasbourg yesterday, and the person putting on the show was saying it was really good here in general, but also at Slow Club. Mm.
Cool. Is there some songs or some artists you listen a lot when you're on tour? Is there something like you have your band playlist?
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
like our song.
Is it?
Yeah, that's our song. Well, on previous tours, we have listened to Carly Rae Jepsen on repeat. But this
one, what's that song called?
I don't remember this.
Yeah, Call Me Baby.
Call Me Baby, yeah.
But this tour, we haven't done that yet. Maybe we should. It's been more calm. This tour has been calmer so far than previous ones. Been nice and relaxed.
Yeah.
Like the band Trash Kid was formed with another member, and now I have to look it up. Da ist wohl etwas schiefgegangen beim Schneiden des Interviews. Vorhin habe ich auch den falschen Regler hochgezogen. Ich glaube, das ist vielleicht so, wenn man seine erste Sendung macht. Jetzt geht's weiter mit dem Interview. Kleinen Moment. Like the band Trash Kid was formed with another member, and now how does it feel? Like how did the band life change with this, and how did this also affect your music? Maybe.
I think it was quite a seamless transition. It felt very natural to play with Jill because Jill was already playing in a band with Rachel before that, but. The music's definitely changed a bit because I think we write songs very collaboratively, so the music is different depending on who is in the band. It's very reflective of our individual idiosyncratic ways of being and playing, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you also play in a lot of different bands, like Sacred Pause or Shopping, which just released also a new album this year. How do you manage to be part of different of many bands? And is it hard to maybe now focus to Trash Kid, or is it more natural and it's all organically flowing between the bands?
It's definitely not... organically flowing. It's definitely quite chaotic at times, but it's natural to me to want to do all the different things because I just like to work with different people, collaborate with my friends, and it seems normal to me to be working on lots of different projects at once because most people I know from music, more like punk or DIY music scenes, that's always the way that they've done things, I suppose, so I don't think it's that strange, but it is a bit chaotic because I am a bit chaotic as a person.
do you yourself also see as still part of this DIY scene, as you said?
Yeah, I suppose what I do personally, different bands has maybe gone into maybe a different space, terms of having record labels or booking agents and things, which isn't really the definition of DIY, but to me it's the spirit of the creative process and stuff, and collaborating is still the same.
I guess we're in control of what we're doing, and there's kind of a limit, I think, to how long you can sustain certain. If you want to be a musician and it's a lot of work, and it's also because we're on a lot of projects, I think it would be a bit impossible for us to be doing all of the booking and everything like that for ourselves. So it's just kind of about balancing things. But, you know, we sort of kind of control everything that we're kind of doing. So, like you say, it's still got that DIY spirit.
You are signed on this on the label Upset the Rhythm. How did it come to this?
I'm not sure, actually. I can't remember. It's been so long because we've been on that label since not long after we formed.
It's been over 10 years now.
But I think our original bass player already knew Chris, who runs Upset the Rhythm. And I'm not sure if he came to a show or if he heard maybe our first CD that we made. And he invited us to play a festival. He used to play this festival called Yes Way. And then basically after that, he emailed us and asked us if we wanted to do an album with him, with the record label. And we've just...
Yeah, that's but been it our does feel label. Like he's definitely known us since we first started making music. So he was very fast to say that he wanted to work with us, which is nice.
It's not really like a normal record label. I mean, I don't have anything to compare it with because I've never been signed to any other label, but Upset the Rhythm is very informal, and it is a DIY label in that, you know, you basically do everything yourself. I mean, you know, Upset the Rhythm has put out our records, but we... kind of we're in control of what we do apart from that, you know, with our touring and gigs. But also Chris, who runs the label, I mean, he's a friend as well. Like, he's someone we know in our social circle. So it's not like having a kind of label boss. It's kind of quite different to that.
Yeah.
So I think the record label basically is based in London, maybe? But I know that you live in different cities, as far as I know, like Glasgow, Cambridge, and London. And how do you manage to make music together? Do you like, and how does this work? Do you exchange your music digitally via mail? Or?
No, nothing's organized.
We just kind of do it more compactly, I guess. We sort of arrange, maybe we would rehearse for a week or something, and we arrange time to do writing. So that's kind of like the last album, that's how we did it. The other two albums we made with Roz, and we were all in London then, but this album that we just did, we were all living in different cities then, and it's just kind of a different way of working, but maybe you can be a bit more focused, or we have to be more focused, so it works somehow.
Yeah, so does it work? I mean, I could also imagine that if you have so much pressure and you say, okay, we meet now for 1 week and we write new songs for the album, it can also be a situation where, yeah, you have some high pressure and you not really can free your mind to be creative, to write new music.
I guess, though, we sort of practice separately to, well, I do anyway, and I know you, I know Rachel, who plays guitar, also, we all sort of will write things on our own. So quite often when we have rehearsals, everyone maybe will have some sort of musical idea, and then we kind of, you know, play ideas off each other. So already we'll already come to the rehearsal with some idea of what we want to kind of do.
I mean, I don't think we've ever got together and for a week and said, right, we must write songs. It always happens much more organically than that. So all of the songs on the most recent album all happened very gradually over a long period of time. Like, they sort of gradually evolved. And then I'm not sure how it happened, but then suddenly we were in a position where we had a whole album's worth of material. And I don't think we ever sort of really sort of sat down and thought, we must write an album. It just kind of happened.
I do remember some, there were some,
we did a demo. We did like
times. It was so long ago that I've forgotten. So now it does feel a bit like they've just fell out of the sky.
No, but we sort of were like, we've got this many songs. Okay, we just need a few more, then that's an album. And we did definitely like finish, you know, finalise the structure of things. So But I mean, that's why we've had such big spaces between our albums, maybe.
Yeah. So you can expect another album in about 10 years' time?
No.
So there's fortunately you have some more projects running, so there's new music for you to come.
Yeah.
Like in many reviews, you're compared, or your music is compared to the Raincoats. To be honest, I didn't know them before. Maybe I'm too young. I don't know. Is this a big influence for you? Is it true?
Yeah, definitely sort of spiritually, if not musically. I mean, yes, musically, but also I think they're just like a really... You can tell by the way they play and the way they sort of are together that they're coming from a similar place to us. And they're also sort of friends of ours now. So it just sort of... It's like a similar way of thinking about music, I think. Maybe they were slightly non-musicians when they first started, and then they got to know themselves and kind of developed their own like language and way of playing and listening to each other. And I think that's really special. And I think that we do a similar thing, but we don't necessarily sound like them. But I definitely was really, really inspired by them when I was younger. And still am. The fact that they still play together as well was really inspiring. They're like older women making kind of weird music, and that's really important.
I think that's the inspiring thing about them now too, is that they don't think, oh well, we should stop doing this because, you know, bands are for young people. They just carry on. They don't see why they should stop.
Yeah,
and they do it on their own terms as well. Like they don't, you know, they play every now and again when they fancy it. I quite like that approach.
Yeah, definitely.
So, is there something for me as not knowing them? Is there something you can recommend as a starter for the Raincoats?
Probably just the whole of the first album.
Yeah.
Every single song on the album is really, really good. Mm.
Yeah, I think actually you have to listen to that whole album as a sort of unit, like as an album. I think it really works.
Oh, and also our friend Jen Pelly wrote a book about it recently. It's one of the little 33 and a third books. But if you do like it and you then read that book, you'll really enjoy it because it's really interesting and well written.
Cool. So I'm gonna give them a chance. Thank you. Does your music, you said that their music is very works as an album, which could also be something old-fashioned nowadays, but do you think your music is also something that works, that needs to be listened to as a whole piece, as an album? Does this give something like new styles to your music, or is it important for you?
That's interesting.
Like this
I don't think it. We don't. Like we said, we didn't sort of think of this album as like a unit. But and it's not like, oh, you have to listen to the whole album because that sounds a bit bossy. Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think it's not. It is a bit old-fashioned in that it's not. We weren't trying to write like hit single on any of the tracks. We were just writing songs that go nicely together, and I think they are all good companions to each other. I think it's not like, I don't know.
I think the themes and then also the musical ideas that are running through the songs, I think it's good to take the time to spend that time and listen to the thing as a whole, because even though we didn't initially think, oh, this, I don't know, like you say, we were like, oh, we kind of did all the songs over a long period of time, definitely the final product, because we've got added, like, we've got a small choir, we've got added in, like, saxophone and stuff like that. There's something within what's happening there as well that sort of connects everything together as a whole, so.
Yeah, definitely.
How did you talked about the collaborations, like the saxophone, which was played, I think, by Dan Liebers. Also playing saxophone by The Comet Is Coming, which I also really like. And how do these collaborations come up? Like, are these friends that play the instruments you have on your album? And how is songwriting with these? Do they, I mean, if, because of course they influence their music because it's someone else.
In terms of the extra instrumentation, there was, it was like a mix of collaboration. So on one song we've got Serafina Steer, who plays harp, and she just improvised her part, and I play in a band with her, so that's how I know her. And then for Dan, he improvised on disco, but then on the other songs, most of the parts were written by me, and Rachel wrote some of the parts as well. But that was, we recorded the album in December 2017, sorry. And then we had a lot of time just to listen to the tracks, and we just wrote a lot of them on using Logic. That's what I kind of use. So it was a collaboration in some respect, but also we were having a hand in how we were thinking about how we wanted to structure the songs. And the choir, I wrote, I think I was the one that wrote all of those parts. So, yeah.
And
it was all me.
Really good.
Yeah, they're just friends, people that we know through making music, just through having played music for such a long time. So it's kind of nice to be able to like bring in these people and get them to play on our songs. And
yeah.
But I mean, it was really exciting. I mean, because I mean, I didn't write the choir or the added instrumentation. And but I think we were all surprised when we heard how the songs changed when it had this new stuff on. They just took on a whole new life. And I don't know. It was really exciting to hear them transformed in that way.
I think the saxophone for me plays a very important role on your music. Mm. And I think on 5 of 11 songs there's a saxophone. You could just say that Dan is somehow the fourth band member.
Yeah.
Maybe. So I mean, he's playing in a band called The Comet Is Coming, and there are a lot of new jazz bands coming from the UK now, like Sons of Kemet or SR Collective.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this music also influences you, and you're somehow, I don't know, taking up this vibe?
I think so. You can definitely sort of sense it in London when the bands start to slightly change that you're hanging out with. And I think we did start getting asked to play more shows with slightly more jazz-leaning people. I don't even know if jazz is the right word, but I suppose that's what they describe themselves as. But also people like Vanishing Twin, they're a really good London band. I don't know if you know them. But
This one I know, yeah.
Yeah. I remember playing with them a while ago. That was really inspiring, kind of just like taking like these sort of more like punk or like weird outsider music ideas and then taking them more into like the outer reaches of jazz and kind of like weird instrumental music.
And also where we recorded our album, Total Refreshment Centre, that's where like The Comet Is Coming and like Kay, who recorded our album, he's worked a lot with them and a lot of these other kind of, I think Vanishing Twin also recorded stuff there and
Flamingods.
And Flamingods, yeah. I guess we just kind of listening to different things or just being around that kind of scene. Or I mean, we've always had saxophone on our record. It's been like a sound that we've always liked to include on our, like, so all three of our albums have got saxophone on them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
saxophone's become quite cool recently, but we had it on our albums when it wasn't cool. So.
I think we, like, I always liked, me personally, I think I always enjoyed the sound of a saxophone, and I don't know, we just, now it's just become a thing, we always include that, or it just feels like a nice way to round out sonically what we're doing, I guess. And I don't know, we listened to, like, I guess when we first started there was also a lot of different African kind of...
Yeah, well, I like how it kind of references, like, jazz, obviously, but then also, like, things like X-Ray Specs and, like, Laura Logic and stuff, like, more post-punk stuff. But then also we really love, like, Ethiopian saxophone playing and like, I like to listen to a lot of Motown and the kind of, like, horn sections on that type of music, I think, are really, like, joyous and soulful. So I think there's so much with saxophone. It's just so fun to have it on our music.
Yeah. If I read some reviews, I think in every review is also cited that your music is strongly influenced by music from Zimbabwe and has some Mbira vibes. So Mbira is a little key piano.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did it come to this? Because I didn't know of this before, to be honest.
Well, we listen to lots of African music from all over. I think maybe we mentioned Zimbabwe, and then that's now in all the that's in all the reviews. We didn't necessarily mean to say we only listen to. I've never even been there, but I do really love like Zimbabwean guitar playing. Or when we were writing, I was specifically listening to a lot of stuff like the Four Brothers and Thomas Mapfumo and Bundu Boys. And their sort of way of playing guitar is really interesting to me because it's based on these Mbira rhythms and melodies that are kind of maybe counterintuitive for a lot of Western guitarists or even just other African guitarists who weren't thinking of the guitar in that way. And I think it's so interesting because a lot of times like I find guitar playing can be quite boring and a way of getting out of that is to think about other instruments and like to be inspired by how other instruments work. And that's sort of more, I guess it's more of like a folk approach to the instrument. I've just thought that was really exciting. But I don't know how to play the Mbira. I wish I did.
As I said, it comes from Zimbabwe, which was a former British colony. I think it got independent in the 80s, which is quite late, I think. Do you think about colonialism, or is this something you treat in your music?
I mean, only for me, like I do, but musically speaking, like in terms of trying to reference guitar playing that isn't just from like the West, America or Europe, and I suppose like I think that's quite important because it's to me the majority of guitar music that I like is like non-Western. But yeah, also the Thomas Mapfumo is a real sort of revolutionary hero in Zimbabwe. I don't know the history very well, but I know that he was like really important in that movement for independence.
I mean, it's not explicit in the music, but for example, we've played Decolonize Fest, and so it's maybe it's kind of more. And the ethos of like the band and who we play with.
Decolonize Fest is a festival in London for punks of colour, and it's sort of organised around trying to encourage more like non-white identifying people to start bands and giving them a platform. I think in terms of visibility, that's really important to us, and that's like kind of partly why we started the band together. Me and Rachel both have mixed race heritage, and we wanted to start a band that really celebrated that. Do you want to say anything about that?
I don't know if I like you said everything.
So it's also about like moving the focus from this away from the Eurocentric point of view that we probably have in Europe here. And do you yourself see as a political band? Like you said, you played on this Decolonize Festival.
Mm.
Yeah, do you yourself see yourself as a political band?
I mean, I don't know what band isn't political, really, if you're a human being.
Everything is political. But we don't. I don't think we sort of sit down and have meetings. Well, no. I know we don't sit down and have meetings unless they happen without me.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess we wouldn't be afraid to tackle these kind of things within our music. Like, maybe we haven't been so explicit, but I feel like there's sort of ideas and things that we're trying to express, especially on the last album, that are political to some extent.
On your album that you released called Horizon, there's a song See Through where you shout transcend or break out, I think. Break down it is. So is it, and in general, you have a lot of these imperative shoutings. I think there's also the song Bad, in which you say, get up, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, that makes it sound really bossy.
So is there something that you want the people to transcend or break down? Is it something general?
Yeah, well, those two songs are sort of quite different, but the See-Through song was I was thinking about like sort of academic language that people use to talk about. Specifically, I was thinking about sort of identity politics and the sort of academic world surrounding that. But also, I think it could be about any sort of like political concepts that are sometimes sort of quite obscure and hard to access especially if you're like more of a marginalized person, or if you just haven't had like, you know, what is classified as a good education. I think, yeah, it was just sort of, I was trying to, and also I think the way the song sounds is like quite like bold and a bit like aggressive. And I just wanted to sort of sing about breaking down like barriers to education or barriers to like self-expression. And Bed, that song's actually, I hope it doesn't sound bossy. It's more me talking to myself about how, you know, sometimes it's really hard to get out of the bed in the morning, but you still have the knowledge that you do have the power to create your own art or your own way of like getting out of, you know, the things that capitalism make you feel bad about. It's possible to get around them through art and through music a lot of the time if you sort of like own your own, I don't want to say destiny, your own
fate.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. But it's more like talking to yourself, your inner voice saying like, get up.
So, but this 10 out of 10 also has some negative vibe, because it's always, it puts pressure on you. You always have to.
I suppose that's also your inner demon that's like always like the overachiever, and it's kind of like a weird like combination of being like a slightly overwhelmed person that can't get out of bed, but also having this weird inner voice of like, come on, you have to do this and you have to do that. And it's like, how do you balance those things?
Yeah, I think I know this feeling. I think I had it just some days ago when I had my free day, and then I feel like, oh, I have my free now, but I still need to do a lot of things. And then
And sometimes you just end up like paralyzed by that feeling. You don't do anything, which is silly.
Yeah, in the end you feel even worse. So there's also a music video to the song Horizon, which is also the title of the album. And there we can see you dancing and jumping around on some rocks in the countryside. Where is this exactly?
It's called Brimham Rocks. It's near Leeds.
Okay.
And yeah, we were on a label tour, actually, Upset the Rhythm. So we went on tour with another band on the same label called Sauna Youth, and we just stopped there and found ourselves
It was Chris from Upset the Rhythm. It was his idea. Like he found the place. Yeah. And we filmed some of it on my phone, on my mobile phone. It was very DIY. I think it's the,
the definition of
exactly.
DIY music video.
So keep up to the DIY spirit.
Yeah, and we even made the other band that we were touring with, like Sony Youth, we made them follow us around filming it. And I think they even filmed some of it.
Yeah. So everyone from Upset the Rhythm who was was all filming stuff on their mobile phones.
So do you like being in nature, and does it somehow have influence on your music, like being in nature and, I don't know, getting out from the city, having so many people around, so many faces that you don't know, and then being in a calm nature? Does it also maybe do something to your music if you like being there?
I think we respond well to it. I mean, we wrote one song at our friend's house in rural Portugal, actually. Mm. I mean, I wish we could write like that more often. We don't, but we definitely respond well to it.
Mm. I think we would like to spend more time in nature.
Yeah, I think we're all people that enjoy
maybe for the nature. Next album, we'll go to somewhere. Yeah. Spend some time in nature.
Yeah, because actually, when I think about how we've spent most of our time together over the past couple of years, it's in a cellar with no windows and no toilet, no running water. So that's it's called the Doom Room. That's our rehearsal space. So actually, maybe what we respond best to is, is that. It's just being underground.
I think there are some, when I think about lyrically as well, though, like that Horizon, the song Horizon sort of inspired, it doesn't really have any lyrics, but the few lyrics that it does have, I was inspired by being in the desert. So I guess it's like, maybe we are in a basement when we actually are writing, but we're
imagining.
Wouldn't
it be nice to get out of this basement?
Yeah, it's like projecting a different image in your head through music, maybe.
You said the Horizon, the song, it does not have that many lyrics, and I also think that most of your songs, there are some instrumental songs, like the song Disco, which is also a central piece maybe of the album. And if you have lyrics, there are sometimes often you sing in as two persons, and it's which gives it a very energetic nature. But why did you decide to have only a little lyrics? And if you have lyrics, it's more like maybe some imperative or I don't know how to call it lyrics.
I don't know. Yeah, I think. I don't know what to say. I guess we when we first started the band, we had a lot of songs that didn't have any words. They would just have sounds that we'd make with our voices, and we don't have as much as that on this album, but I think we still prefer to express ourselves through music and sounds rather than words. I like words, but I only feel comfortable singing, especially in this band, and if it, I think it needs to all really work together, and I don't want to just say any old thing. I need to really mean it, so I just keep it brief. I'm not a very wordy person in that respect, but I don't know, you wrote some really nice words for the choir.
They are good.
Yeah, but that for just one song, but that was just sort of my on, what was the song called? I can't remember. What's that song called? Traffic Lights. Yeah, I wrote some lyrics that kind of expressed my feeling of being in this band. And working together with other people, and I don't know.
Some bands are very sort of verbal. I mean, all the meaning comes through the words, and it's all very sort of cerebral, and Trash Kit isn't like that. Things get communicated in a different way.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
I also think that if I watched the video Horizon, I think it's quite good because you're dancing and jumping around, and that's how I, at least in my imagination, see you see you playing live, jumping around, because yeah. Your music is very energetic. Uh-huh. So I hope we can expect something from like this tonight.
No, we're all going to sit down.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, in case you will find your speaker cable.
Yeah, it might be quite a quiet gig if we can't find the speaker
cable.
We'll find it. Yeah.
All right, so thank you, Trash Kid, for coming to the studio. Good luck with finding your cable.
Thank you.
And I'm really looking forward to your gig tonight.
Thanks for having us.